Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is true to his word, and I'm here to testify that he loves us all. God's love runs deep, and he thinks of everything. It's amazing how precise God is in all that he does. He loves his people. What would you do for your children? What would you do to help them see and understand and go forward? I know I love my children. No matter what they do, I love them. And I know that there's a great joy in having your children to go to heaven with you. And I didn't just want my children to be Christians. I wanted my children to love God. I wanted them, of course, to be Christians, but I wanted them, I remember telling a pastor years ago, I said, I want my children to love God. And I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. I love when he teaches me. I love to learn. And God is good. So, now, if you've been listening to these broadcasts, I realized something. I talk about a lot of unusual miracles that happen in the course of my life. And I learn something every time one happens. And I understand things in a greater way. And I try to share what was going on and how whatever happened, whatever the miracle was, or whatever God did to answer my prayer, how it affected my life. And I do this often, and lately I've been using two or three of the same miracles because there are so many aspects to each one. I talk about when the Lord first taught me to love his people. Now, when the Lord rescued me from making a fool of myself, I was so angry. And, you know, when the word was used up in my heart, And with the frustration, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, I was already upset. I was about to say some ugly words and start fighting the guy. And the Lord said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. Now that sounds like a simple word, but this was a word of power. It nourished my heart. I experienced the fact that I had no power. And after the Lord spoke those words, my temperance came back. I felt it tangibly. I was motivated to walk in love. And I received the wisdom of what to say in order to walk in love. And it was at my worst moment, my weakest moment. I know what Paul is talking about when he said that the Lord, in our weakness, he makes us strong. I experienced it. And because of that, it got my attention to something. On the way home, I'm driving home in my truck. I said, Lord, I don't know how you did that. And I didn't. But I want you to teach me how to love your people. This scenario is going to happen again. Somebody's going to make me upset or something's going to happen. Say something out of the way. For once, I was asking the Lord to help me do what I should do because I couldn't control what other people would do. Now, I was a very young man. I was about 24 or 5 at that time. Let's see, in 87, in 83, I would have been 20. In 87, I should have been about 24 or 25. And it was in the spring when I had just been called to the ministry. I didn't work at that dealership long, so. Nevertheless, I'm a young man. This guy was much older. He was 15 to 20 years older than me. And when I got about his age, I realized he was testing me to see what I would do. He said things to frustrate me to see if I was really a man of God or not. And, you know, when you're that age, sometimes people don't believe that you are what you say you are. Because there are so many that's not what they say they are. And, but he tested me, you know. So, he wasn't even upset. I don't think he was even mad at me. But I thank God he helped me pass a test that I was definitely about to fail. And knowing God, it helped him just like it helped me. Now, the thing is, the concepts I receive, one, the word charges your heart. That's one that we all need. When I asked the Lord to teach me to love his people, I grabbed a hold of the word in a greater measure. Jesus said, the way you measure, it'll be measured to you again. And I learned things that I didn't know. I learned that the word will charge you. And as the word charges, you have strength that you normally wouldn't have. So the thing to do is study more. But I didn't just study. I didn't start studying more. My study habits didn't change in those years. In fact, it was 1990. That was 87. In 1990, that's when the Lord gave me a study regimen. I didn't even change my study habits until then. I studied a few scriptures. Whatever I was interested in, I might read a chapter a day, but my study habits didn't change. Whatever I was doing before 87, I did it till 1990. Nevertheless, I saw for once that the word charges your heart. And then I saw that when I learned to, that's the beginning of when I learned to rely on God's strength. Before those days, I just did it like everybody else. Or I did it about like how everybody else would do. And see, you can learn something, and you can receive the word, but at what measure? You can receive it at a moderate measure. You know it's true, it's a fact. But if you never challenge, then you can receive the word in agreement on a surface level. But I knew that in my life, things were going to go wrong. I knew that the enemy would stir people up to try me. And I wanted to be ready next time. So I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. Out of all the things that I tried to do, I don't always, when you try to do something, you don't always succeed. But I knew that I did not want to fail at living for God. I did not want to lose it. Not that I was afraid, but I just didn't know whether I was strong, smart, or even wise enough. But in him, I got a glimpse that in him, I can do this. Now, when that was made right, I learned that I can do whatever I need to do in his strength. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because sometimes people don't have a reference for doing things in God's strength. Men can be proud and they love and cocky. If you're going to do things in God's strength, first thing you got to do is it's got to be by love, and you got to stop trying to be cocky. A lot of times you can have a success in your life. You can do some amazing things. But that doesn't mean you master doing things in God's strength. Knowledge is wonderful. Wisdom is wonderful. Counsel, the ability to receive and apply the word of God is wonderful. Amen. That's what you do. But doing things in his strength is unlimited. And so the Lord made me aware that the biggest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. There are so many treasures that God will give us of knowledge, of wisdom, abilities. We will learn of abilities that we may not have ever seen. We will experience abilities that we never heard of before. All these things I just mentioned has happened to me as I followed God. Once he made me aware to follow him, I was motivated. Now, my biggest reference for that was when the Lord taught me something about business that I desperately needed. And I wanted to know how come he didn't tell me many months before. because I made so many mistakes, and they cost me so much money, time, and caused me so much frustration. But then he said a simple phrase, and I saw how to change all that in one moment. And I said, Lord, why didn't you tell me this many months ago? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. My first thought after that was, what else am I missing out on unnecessarily? So I began to do research. Now, my study habits didn't change. But however I studied before that, that was in 88. However I was studying in 88, that's what I continued to do. Between the year of 88 and 89, I went to UAB in Birmingham. So what I'm bringing this up, these were turning point moments in my life. But it caused me to see God in a much greater measure. It enabled me to trust him. In fact, as soon as he said that, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways, I thought about, what else am I missing on? And I immediately made a vow. I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you. That's when he became my king. That's the day he wasn't just my savior. And he wasn't just my king in word only. He was my king. Those were my first toddler moments of him being my king. Now, when I called him my king before, I was still unstable. And I would have ran from things that I didn't understand. But because I said, I will obey you whether I like it or whether I love it or whether I don't, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do whatever you say, whether I love it or whether I hate it. I'm going to obey you. Now, when you make a vow, you can't break it. You got to keep it. So the times that I didn't have courage, I used the things that I learned in the first episode to do it in God's strength. I had to go give people, the horizon came when I had to go and start giving words to people. You know, I kept drawing near to the Lord and he kept drawing near to me and he started giving me personal words for people. I didn't like that. I'm just getting a hold of things. I don't want to give people words. I don't want to be prophetic. Never done that before. My daddy didn't do that. I didn't know nothing about doing that. You know, I used to read about the prophets all the time. They had to go give people words. They had to, I had to walk naked 3.5 years. Oh, man, I didn't want to do all that. Now, the Lord's telling me, go and tell this person this. And how am I going to do? I said, I got to do this. So, when he spoke to me and said, everlasting love, and love, man, whether he does you good, that gave me the first clue to doing it in his strength. So, I would get a hold of the word, because I was so nervous I'd forget it. Then I said, I got to do this. And they about to leave. I got to do it. I pray in the Holy Ghost. What else was I to do? Now, whenever I had to preach before people, I always prayed in the Holy Ghost. That's why I get comfort. I'm doing it in his strength. He build you up and now you're all right. It's okay. So I would say, Lord, bless this to work. Man, they ain't gonna like me. They ain't gonna hate me. They gonna think I'm stupid. They gonna think I'm all kind of foolishness went through my mind. You know, that's how the devil do you. When I first got saved, I'm about to believe on Jesus. He knew what I was about to do. He said, if you get saved, you're gonna be bored. And I thought he was telling the truth. I didn't know. I didn't know God yet, and I didn't know Satan either. But that thought came to me strong. And it didn't come from God. If you get saved, you're going to be bored. I said, I don't care. This is right. Jesus paid a price, and I'm going to serve him. And I asked him to say, I didn't think I was going to get peace. I didn't think I was going to be any different. I didn't expect to feel anything when I first got saved. I didn't expect to feel peace. I expected to take my next step just like I did before. But I did believe that I was in the Lord's house. And I didn't go by how I felt, but the moment I said, I don't care, I believe on Jesus, the peace of God just wrapped me up. I felt like a brand new man. I said, whoa, I didn't know salvation was like this. I got mad at all the Christians I knew, my parents included, because they didn't tell me. I said, Lord, nobody told me it was like this. He knew I was upset. I was seriously upset. I was mad at my mama and my dad and all the Christians that I knew of, because nobody told me it was like this. He said, the same devil that hindered you from getting saved hindered them from explaining to you how good it is. And I and all my anger was gone when the Lord spoke that. So when the Lord speaks to you, it affects your conscience, your emotions, your strength level. Everything is affected when you hear God's word. So when you hear God's word, if you read God's word in the same, in faith, it does the same thing. Now, I continue, and I would give people words, and I didn't know nothing. Nothing would happen. They say, okay. And then I guess, and then he did it again. I was faithful. Whenever you're faithful, he's going to give you more to do. It's normal. It's natural. It's a blessing, and it's good for you. So I continued. I did what he said to do. And then the next person, oh, here we go again. And I give him a word. And I didn't know nothing to go on. I didn't know what was going to happen, except for whatever God said. But I didn't, I'm inexperienced. So I say, okay, well, then the next time, a few days go by, and you call this person and tell them, oh, man, I kept doing that. I said, Lord, one day I was in his presence. I said, Lord, you're giving me all these words. I need a confirmation. What if I tell somebody something and you had nothing to do with it? I don't want to make a mess. I need a confirmation. He said, your confirmation will come as a horizon. Oh, okay. So when the sun comes up, you start seeing the horizon and it gets brighter and brighter. Well, a few weeks went by after that. Then the next thing I know, people start calling me, telling me what happened, how things came to pass, things that blessed, or just one after another. Okay. So now I'm getting used to it. Then he started giving me a word for the church. Elder May would say, Brother Ham, you got anything? And I stand up and the Lord would give me a phrase to say. I'd say it. And then I sit down. And it'll be on point. It'll be God every time. This went on for a few weeks, months maybe, One day he gave me a phrase, and it was so much. Now I would write them down, the short ones. But this particular day, God gave me a paragraph, and I said, "Lord, what are you?" I said, "That's too much." When I reached down and picked up my notebook, because I would write the short phrases down. God worked with you. I would write it down. And then read it. This time I reached for my notebook and pen, all of it evaporated. It was gone. I couldn't get to it. I didn't know what he said. I said, he's finna call on me, Lord. I don't know what to say. I even forgot what you just told me. And then I still had my pen and my paper in my hand, my notebook and my pen. And I said, he's about to call on me, Lord. And I said, he wants me to, I just knew he wanted me to speak it. I put my notebook and my pen down. And all of it immediately came back. Now, you can't make this stuff up. This is what happened at Pratt City AOH. So Elder May called on me. Before he did, I said, Lord, you gave me a lot. How in the world am I going to remember all the paragraph you gave me? I mean, it wasn't just one or two sentences. This was several sentences. He said, all you got to do is remember the first line and I'll fill in the rest. Then he said, Brother Ham, you got it? I spoke the whole word. I started with the first line and the Holy Spirit just gave me utterance. This gift is prophetic utterance. This is the same gift I use when I write. When I wrote the book, The Cost of Freedom, the Lord gave me that book before I took two steps. I knew what to put in that book, what order to put it in, and I never had writer's block. And I would write, you know, every day I would give myself so much time to write, and I would write as neat as possible so whoever would type it could type it and read it, because I write so sloppy. I write like a doctor. Anyway, I did this. But I knew what to write. Now, when I'm speaking a word, the words are in my heart and they come out of my mouth when I speak prophetically to people. That doesn't always happen, but it happens. So, from that day forward, whenever he gave me a word, he gave me a lot more than just one or two phrases. He works with you. He teaches you. He builds you up. He takes you to where you need to be. So the gift of prophetic utterance was working in my life. And I kept working it, and it kept advancing. If you're faithful with the anointing, this is what happened to you. Now, this was many years ago. I'm still drawing near to the Lord. I'm learning. This was after 1990. So at this point, I'm studying 15 chapters a day. And the word is growing. God is changing my belief system and making it, he's correcting it. Now, many people mean well. Some people are aware of God. They don't really know him. But they're washed in the blood. They love him. They work miracles. They are outstanding. You can't tell when somebody know God and when they are aware of him. It's a difference. Aaron was a prophet. Miriam was a prophet. But when Miriam, you know, when they made that statement, they talked against Moses, and God smote Miriam with leprosy. He said, I speak to you through a veil, but I speak to Moses face to face. Remember that? That's in Genesis. He spoke to, that was in Exodus, I'm sorry. That was in Exodus. And they got in trouble because they spoke against Moses. But God, that's not the part I wanted to aim at. I'm talking about the part where God said, I speak to you through a veil, but I speak to Moses face to face. A man can be a prophet, he can be an apostle, he can be a pastor, and many people are aware of God. They know him, they're aware of him. Jesus is their Lord, and they love him, they live in obedience. But see, unless you follow through, there are many things you won't know about God. I remember God told me years ago, he said, you know me. And so when I talk and I share things, all of it is true. It happened. I still see it. I still remember it. All of it. And I know it can sound far-fetched. But if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But just this morning, he showed me something. When I went on vacation, he taught me this also, but I saw it this morning. In 1987, when I was asking the Lord to teach me how to love his people, that's when I began to know him. I began to sense what God likes and what he don't. I have always done that from the time I first got saved. When I forgave people that did me wrong, I could sense that God, I could sense what God liked and what he did not like. It was 89 or maybe 1990. I think that's the last time I remember feeling afraid. And I sensed that the Lord didn't like it. I remember being afraid. There are two incidents that I got afraid. I was watching a movie. It was RoboCop. And the one that was evil was about to kill this lady. And I felt fear, and I sensed that the Lord didn't like it. Then, the last time I remember being afraid That was a shootout on the freeway. I heard the gunshots, tow, tow, tow. Then I heard the cars crash, boom, boom, boom. It was terrible. It was so many people came out. And when it was happening, I felt afraid. Now, I know that was in 1989. And it was a terrible thing to experience. I didn't see it. I could see the freeway, but I didn't see who was crashing. I just heard it. And it shook me. I was afraid. And the Lord said, never be afraid. He didn't like me being afraid. He was jealous against me. And I could sense it. He said, never be afraid. For every one devil, there are two angels. And I don't remember being afraid from that moment on. See, I have to think about when the last time I was afraid. Now, people get afraid often, and they don't even realize that God is jealous. You don't need to be afraid of Satan. You don't need to be afraid of man. You don't need to be afraid of situations. And you need to be in faith about everything in His Word. If you're sick and you're wondering whether it's God's will for you to be healed or not, you're still in doubt. That's doubt. You go by what the words say and stick with it and command it. Command the situation to line up with the word. That's how it is. You find the word and you stand on it. That's what you're going to believe from. You're never going to go back to believing a lie. You don't just receive from God. You reject doubt. Doubt is a choice. I'll always teach from this point on, faith is your choice, doubt is your choice. Well, I don't feel like I'm in faith. Go by the word anyway. It's not about how you feel. Don't take no for an answer. Taking no for an answer is doubt. And it can work through fear. Don't be afraid and don't doubt. Reject it. Reject fear, reject doubt. Reject unbelief. Unbelief is deadly. It's a demon. It's rejecting God's word. It's when you know better and do the wrong thing anyway. Or it's when you know better and won't learn. You see a better way and you won't walk in it. You choose not to believe when it's obvious. Unbelief is just like when the people stopped their ears and then they stoned Stephen. They didn't want the truth. It's just like when the Sadducees and the rulers and the priests, they came against Peter in chapter 4. I just read about it in the previous broadcast. When they saw the lame man standing with him, they couldn't say nothing against it. But they refused to give honor to Jesus. And they refused what had happened. And they wanted they tried to command them to not speak in Jesus' name. That's unbelief, my friend. You know better. You see it. They couldn't say nothing against it. That could be true. But they still had hatred. Unbelief is hate-based. Doubt is a nasty unsurety. Don't give it a chance. Don't let it be leavening you. When you decree a thing, let it be decreed. The man said, Jesus, help my unbelief. For these reasons, sometimes people are not aware. That don't mean that they don't love God. That don't mean that they're not sincere. That don't mean that they're not blessed. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying there is so much revelation that they have not received so that they can know God. They know of Him. They are aware of Him. Even and the people that are not... Would you expect a first grader to know what a 10th grader knows? Sometimes people stay on the surface level of life. Even though they go through college, finish a career and retire, that don't mean that they master. You can master things in the Word. Not at your skill level, at God, in God's strength. If you do things in His strength, and you see things through. See, when I started giving words to people, it increased. And the Lord started using me prophetically. And then He would have me to write down things at home. And then He'd tell me what church to go to and when to take it. And I would write it that morning. It would be all written out. I didn't write it as neat. I didn't type in those days. I wrote it as neat as possible. He'd tell me where to go. And I'd go to the church and I'd hand the paper to the pastor. All under God's instruction. And when I get to, before I give him the word, he's preaching many things, aspects that I wrote at home. How could I know to do that? I'm doing this at God's command. I'm in obedience. So as I continued, the Lord was able to train me. Now I knew the Lord, but every time he trained me and teach me things, I learned it more and more. And that's why I'm doing this broadcast this way. It's because I know the things that I speak. It can sound far-fetched, but this is what happened. And the Lord never stopped giving me revelation about following him because it's necessary. And the testimonies that I give and share, it's because I like to share with people how I learned it. I'm just an everyday man that loved God. And the Lord, he's helping me solve a problem. He called me to the ministry. He gave me a direction to go in, and I'm in obedience. It's not just a pet doctrine. But I know for a fact that anybody that follows the Lord, they're going to do some amazing things. So, in order to know him, Paul, he didn't just desire to work for God. He wanted to know him. And I want you to know him because you can. You don't have to be some big time preacher. Just love God and it will happen. Now, I'm out of time.